Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Sikhi Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyadeshatarine Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda
Shri Krishna
Krishna, Hare Hare,
Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada
Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada
Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Prabhupada Srila Prabhupada
Jaya Prabhupada
Jaya Guru Deva, Jaya Guru Deva, Guru Deva, Shiva Guru Deva, Jaya Om Vishnu Pad Paramhansa Pari Prajakacharya Astotra Satasri Srimad Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jaya Om Vishnu Pad Paramhansa Pari Prajakacharya Astotra Satasri Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. Dhammacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Seko Hosi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shamakunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai, Navadweep Dham Ki Jai, Jamuna Mai Ki Jai, Ganga Mai Ki Jai, Tulsi Devi Ki Jai, Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Samveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai, Jai Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bo. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna. We are very fortunate to have His Holiness Giriraj Swami Maharaj for the second time now as a continuation of the previous session. He is a very dear spiritual son of Srila Prabhupada. And we have read several pastimes of Maharaja with Srila Prabhupada. And last class was so inspiring and enlivening for the devotees. Several calls came requesting, please extend the class of Maharaj. Even after a couple of hours, devotees wanted more. So we have arranged the session today, especially for having all your important questions answered. So we came to know that there are about 10 questions which were sent by devotees in the last program. So Maharaj is very, very personal in his dealings. And Maharaj would like to know who had the question. So they should come forward and acknowledge their question. Only then Maharaj will answer to them. So you can kindly read the question and invite the person who asked the question. And they can put on their video and then Maharaj can talk to them. All right. Let us welcome Maharaj to Shri Radha Vrindavan Chandra and Shri Radha Mijibari Temple in Pune. Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Purampuji Giriraj Swami Maharaj Ki!
All right. To begin, I will read a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam about asking questions. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
We read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 2, Divinity and Divine Service. Text 5. Munaya sadhu prishtoham bhavadbir lokamangalam yat krita krishna samprashno yenatma suprasidati. Munaya sadhu prishtoham bhavadbir lokamangalam yat krita krishna samprashno yenatma suprasidati. Munaya, O sages, that means you all. Sadhu, this is relevant. Prishta, questioned. Aham, myself. Bhavadbi, by all of you. Loka, the world. Mangalam, welfare. Yet, because, krita, made, Krishna, the personality of Godhead, samprashna, relevant question, yena, by which, atma, self, supersedati, completely pleased. Translation. O sages, I have been justly questioned by you. Your questions are worthy because they relate to Lord Krishna and so are of relevance to the world's welfare. Only questions of this sort are capable of completely satisfying the self. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Since it has been stated herein before that in the Bhagavatam the absolute truth is to be known, the questions of the sages of Naimisharanya are proper and just because they pertain to Krishna, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth. In Bhagavad Gita 15:15, the Personality of Godhead says that in all the Vedas, there is nothing but the urge for searching after him, Lord Krishna. Yes, Vaidaischa Sarvair Aham Eva Vedya. By all the Vedas, Krishna is to be known. Thus, the questions that pertain to Krishna are the sum and substance of all the Vedic inquiries. The whole world is full of questions and answers. The birds, beasts, and men are all busy in the matter of perpetual questions and answers. In the morning, the birds in the nest become busy with questions and answers. And in the evening also, the same birds come back again and become busy with questions and answers. The human being, unless he is fast asleep at night, is busy with questions and answers. The businessmen in the market are busy with questions and answers. And so also the lawyers in the court and the students in the schools and colleges. The legislators in the parliament are also busy with questions and answers. And the politicians and the press representatives are all busy with questions and answers. Although they go on making such questions and answers for their whole lives, they are not at all satisfied. Satisfaction of the soul can only be obtained by questions and answers on the subject of Krishna. Krishna is our most intimate master, friend, father or son, and object of conjugal love. Forgetting Krishna, we have created so many objects of questions and answers, but none of them are able to give us complete satisfaction. All things but Krishna give temporary satisfaction only. So if we are to have complete satisfaction, we must take to the questions and answers about Krishna. We cannot live for a moment without being questioned or without giving answers. Because the Srimad Bhagavatam deals with questions and answers that are related to Krishna, we can derive the highest satisfaction only by reading and hearing this transcendental literature. One should learn the Srimad Bhagavatam and make an all-around solution to all problems pertaining to social, political, or religious matters. Srimad Bhagavatam and Krishna are the sum total of all things. So I'll read the verse again, and then we can move on to the questions and answers. O sages, I have been justly questioned by you. Your questions are worthy because they relate to Lord Krishna, and so are of relevance to the world's welfare. Only questions of this sort are capable of completely satisfying the self. Hare Krishna. So now, O sages, please ask your questions.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Yes.
So the first question in the chat what we received is, Maharaj, when we fail to face calamities and environment is like to commit same mistake, how to improve myself?
I'm sorry, could you, by the way, the person who asked the question, is he on the Zoom conference? Can he ask?
Not sure, Maharaj.
All right, well, just repeat the question because I missed some of it.
Maharaj, I'll read it for you. Maharaj, yeah. The first question is, when we failed to face calamities and environment is making me commit the same mistakes again and again, then how to improve myself? He's asking. He's asking that he's failing and facing calamities, and the environment pushes him to commit the same mistake. He's asking how to improve. Is this devotee around? Is in the Zoom? You don't know the name?
Yes. Yeah, so, we are in the world of calamities, as we discussed last time, in relation to the prayers of Queen Kunti, and she actually welcomed calamities. She prayed, Vipada santuta sashvat tatra tatra jagat guru bhavato darshanam yat syat apurnar bhava darshanam. She prayed, I wish that all those calamities would happen again and again so that we could see you again and again. For seeing you means that we will no longer see repeated births and deaths. Apurna Bhava Darshanam. Darshanam means to see. Bhava means repeated birth and death. Puna means again, and A means not. So Apurna Bhava Darshanam means not seeing repeated births and deaths. So if we realize what's at stake, then we won't continue to make the same mistakes. If we realize that our future stretching many lifetimes, or not even lifetimes, but infinite time in the future, depends on how we respond to calamities. And there are always calamities in the material world. Then we will not allow ourselves, or at least will resist falling into the same materialistic patterns when faced with calamities. Basically, we always have the choice to take shelter of Krishna or take shelter of something else. His Grace Burijan Prabhu has commented that sometimes if we're in a difficult situation, our first impulse is to check our pocket to see if we have our wallet and our credit card, because we think that will be able to save us. And sometimes it's useful, no doubt. But the ultimate shelter is Krishna. And that's also stated by Prahlad Maharaj in the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Balasya neha sharanam pitaro nishringha. Prahlad prays that those who are not protected by you have no guarantee of protection. Just like one may have a strong boat on water, but the boat may sink. Even in the presence of the parents, the child may suffer. And even with a good doctor and medicine, the patient may die. So although, of course, we must take remedial measures to counteract the miseries of material existence, they offer no guaranteed protection. The only guaranteed protection is that of the Lord, and therefore our first business is to take shelter of Him. And that is our guaranteed protection. So whoever asked the question, and I'm sure the same applies to all of us, or many of us, that we have material conditioning that makes us respond to calamities by trying to defend ourselves with our own strength and resources. But we should know that ultimately the only guaranteed protection is that of the Lord. And so our endeavor should be to take shelter of Him and depend on His mercy. It doesn't mean that we don't make our own efforts, but ultimately we know that we are dependent on the Lord's mercy, and therefore our first priority is to take His shelter. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Maharaj. Maharaj, I had a small suggestion. Although there are 10 questions asked by devotees from the previous week, if we open the forum to the current attendees, many of us have questions. Can we ask you directly?
And yeah.
And in case the ones who asked last week have come, they can again get a chance to ask now.
Yes. Yes. Yes,
Maharaj, I had one question. In one of your articles, you had written that shloka, Shinbatam Swakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana. In that you said Satam means truthful devotee. And the truthful devotee means one who says what he means. You know, he doesn't say one thing and think another thing. So I wanted to know from you, when we are chanting the holy name, oftentimes the mind gets drifted to service excellence, you know, improving our service better and or the anxiety for the service. So how we can call the holy name and be fixed either in the mood, right mood of the chanting of the holy name or prayerful mood or hearing the holy name, rather than consider other services important. So it will be very beneficial to all of us to hear from you.
Yeah, I was at the Chopati temple when a devotee asked the exact same question to His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, that he's more inclined to service than to chanting. And even while chanting, he thinks of service. And His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj replied that while you're chanting, chanting is your service. So how can you properly do one service while thinking of other services? You have to focus on the service that you're doing at the time. And so chanting is service. Once, of course, many decades ago during Srila Prabhupada's time, his dear disciple Kaushalya Devi Dasi was in a somewhat of a rickshaw accident. And I think her arm was in a cast and she was limited in what she could do. And so she complained to Srila Prabhupada that, you know, she felt very frustrated because all she could do was chant. She couldn't do any service. And Srila Prabhupada replied, chanting is service. So it's service and it's also a prayer for more service. So, yeah, when we chant, we should be focused on that service and not think of other services. And we can pray to be able to hear the holy name without being distracted. And of course the mind will wander. And so we just bring it back. As the Bhagavad Gita says, you know, whenever and wherever the mind wanders, you bring it back to the self. So, and, you know, we'll also get more taste. You know, one reason the mind wanders is because we don't have that much taste for chanting. And so, the mind is always looking for some sort of happiness or satisfaction. And it doesn't feel it's getting much taste from chanting, so it's looking elsewhere for taste. But as we persevere in our chanting, then we'll develop more taste for it. And then we'll relish it. And we'll want to go deeper and deeper. As Srila Rupa Goswami prayed, What chanting can I do with one tongue and two ears? If I had millions of tongues and billions of ears, then I could begin to chant. So we'll, you know, by practice, Srila Prabhupada said, practice makes perfect, even in spiritual life. So by practice, we will develop taste, and that taste will increase, and then we'll want to chant more and more. As Mahatma Prabhu said at one japa retreat that he and I facilitated together, he had a friend who used to think that, you know, his chanting was getting in the way of his life. Oh, I have to chant my rounds, you know. I wish I could just get on with my life. But now he thinks his life is getting in the way of his chanting. Oh, I wish I could just keep chanting more and more and more and not have to deal with my life. So that will come. That will come by Krishna's grace. Guru and Gauranga's grace. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, now recently we are here. Thank you, Maharaj, for your association. Recently, during our prasadam time, we also are reading your many moon books also. So it's very ecstatic. So Maharaj, I want to ask one question regarding, you have done a lot of fund collection for Vrindavan temple or Juhu temple also. So then some devotee, we had a question about whether you would also go to the people who had some sinful business, or from there you could collect some Lakshmi, or only those who are pious people. Because sometimes we feel if we take Lakshmi from them, then we may get entangled in karma. So we want to know about that, Maharaj.
Well, we approached everyone. Once when I was collecting for a souvenir for the first Pandal in Calcutta, I got an ad from a cigarette company. And, you know, when the souvenir was published, I showed it to Srila Prabhupada and asked him about taking that ad. And he said it was okay to take an ad from the cigarette company, but better not to advertise the cigarettes. And so the next time, I got an ad for our next souvenir, but I asked for a different kind of ad, which didn't promote the cigarettes. So they had an ad sort of advertising the welfare activities that the company was doing. So we ran that ad. But definitely we can take their money and engage it in Krishna's service, and we won't be affected. Unless we misappropriate the money. If we misappropriate any of the money, then we become debtors. And we also become contaminated by the money earned by sinful activity. Money is used 100% for Krishna's service, then we'll benefit because we engage that person in Krishna's service, and that person will also benefit because his money was used in Krishna's service. But otherwise, if we think that we're too holy and too pure, approach simple people. Now how will the movement go on? I mean, we want to engage the simple people also. Like Lord Nityananda and Haridas Thakur approached Jagai and Madhav. In fact, that reminds me of something very sweet that Srila Prabhupada said. That In order to approach Radha and Krishna, we need the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And in order to get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, we need the mercy of Lord Nityananda. And in order to get the mercy of Lord Nityananda, we have to approach people like Jagai and Madai. So sometimes we do. And we take their sinful money and engage it in service to Gaur Nithai. Yeah. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, in one of your Juhu lectures, I had heard you were sharing about the incident where Srila Prabhupada apparently rejected your sannyas request, Maharaj. If you could share the lessons once again, Maharaj, that would be nice, Maharaj.
Yes. You know, in the early 70s, you know, we got the Juhu land in 1972, February. And so maybe late 73, some devotees who were junior to me, such as His Holiness Lokanath Swami and His Holiness Sridhar Swami, were taking sannyas. And Gopal Krishna Prabhu, he was not a sannyasi then. He was the GBC. And he was encouraging me that I should also ask Srila Prabhupada for sannyas. But within my heart, I really didn't feel comfortable asking. But Gopal Krishna Prabhu brought it up to Srila Prabhupada himself. And then Srila Prabhupada called for me to see me. And he said, you know, Gopal Krishna says you want to take sannyas. So I didn't want to contradict him. He was my GBC, so I said yes. So he said, why do you want to take sannyas? So I said, you know, it would help my preaching. And Prabhupada said, you cannot preach as a brahmachari. And I said, yes, I can. And he said, are there any other reasons? And the only other reasons that I could think of were that I would get the Mahaprasad plate from the deities and that people would offer me obeisances. But I didn't think those were very good reasons to present to Srila Prabhupada for taking sannyas. So when he said, are there any other reasons? I just said no. So then he said, all right. But then later I heard from his personal staff, that Srila Prabhupada said, you know, what does Giriraj think? That by taking sannyas, he'll sprout four hands for preaching? And then he came to the point, the real point, which was Giriraj can never leave Bombay. And, you know, Srila Prabhupada wanted me in Bombay. And as a sannyasi, he apprehended that I might leave Bombay. And Srila Prabhupada himself said, if you're a sannyasi, if you don't like a place, you can just leave. But yeah, so he wanted me to stay in Bombay, and so he rejected the idea of my sannyas then. And I took sannyas only in 1978, after Srila Prabhupada left and after the Juhu temple opened. Anyway, that's another story. But yeah, that was the history of Srila Prabhupada's rejecting the idea of my taking sannyas. I mean, what does Giriraj think? He'll sprout four hands for preaching? I mean, who else could say that? Only Srila Prabhupada could say that.
Hare Krishna
Maharaj. Hare Krishna Maharaj.
You can ask.
Yes, yes.
Can I ask Maharaj?
Yeah, yes. And everyone else should mute. Yes. I don't think you're the one making the noise, but I think everyone should mute. Asking
yes, Maharaj.
Oh, so
Maharaj. Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. Maharaj, I heard about you were present while you visited Vardha along with Srila Prabhupada in Mr. Bajaj place. So, Maharaj, can you please share your interaction between Prabhupada ji and Bajaj families? Because Bajaj family is contributing a lot in ISKCON last three, four years. Especially ISKCON Pune, almost 7 crore they have donated. Bhaktivedanta Hospital, they have donated almost 6 crore. And even this corona period, now we are distributing food, almost 3 crore they have, 3 to 4 crore they have contributed to us. So can you please, Maharaj, share their interaction, Srila Prabhupada and Bajaj family's interaction?
Yeah, that's wonderful that the Bajaj family is contributing so much. In fact, I think a couple of years ago, Radhe Shyam told me that that they were opening a guest house at the temple that had been financed by the Bajajas, and so he asked me to send some account of Srila Prabhupada's interaction with Mr. Ramkrishna Bajaj, who is, I believe, Rahul Bajaj's uncle. So, so Ramakrishna Bajaj had formed an organization called Gita Pratishtan, Gita Foundation, which was dedicated to the propagation of the Bhagavad Gita. And he was organizing a program in Vardha. He was hosting the delegates at Vardha. But a prominent figure in the whole proceedings was Sri Vinoba Bhave, who had his ashram in Pawnar, which was not far from Vardha. And yeah, Srila Prabhupada, he preached strongly. He didn't compromise. And, he was by far the most senior preacher and the most successful preacher. And so people very much appreciated his contribution. And in preparation for going to the conference, he had some days of discussion with one of his disciples named Jagadish Prabhu, listing all the problems in the world and how they could be solved by the Bhagavad Gita, with references to specific verses in the Bhagavad Gita that gave the solutions to those problems. So this whole episode is, you know, quite elaborately described in my forthcoming book about Srila Prabhupada called I'll Build You a Temple, a Juhu Story. But yes, Mr. Bajaj, he was very favorable. And after the conference, he also donated. We had a farm project, or we were preparing to develop a farm project. So Mr. Bajaj contributed to that. And I think his brother-in-law was Sriman Narayan, who had been the governor of Gujarat. And Sriman Narayan was also very favorable. And Sriman Narayan's wife wrote a very nice article about Srila Prabhupada's visit to Wardha and about Srila Prabhupada and his work in general. Srila Prabhupada really appreciated that article. And out of respect and appreciation for Srila Prabhupada, the next meeting of the Gita Pratishtan was held at our Krishna Balaram temple in Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada was not so well at that stage, so he didn't participate directly, but they had their conference right at our Krishna Balaram temple at Vrindavan. And Srila Prabhupada sent some of his disciples to represent him in the discussions. So, yeah. And I had, you know, even after Srila Prabhupada left, I had very nice interactions with Sri Ramakrishna Bajaj. Every year, a group of Gurukul students from our Gurukul in Vrindavan would come to Juhu during the hot season when it was really hard in Vrindavan, and not just hot, but it was their holidays. So a group would come to Juhu, and I would take them out to, you know, to do programs at different people's homes. And every year, we'd always have a very good scholar. They were all little, you know, but we'd always have a good scholar who could recite Sanskrit shlokas. And we'd always have someone who was like really cute. And that combination was very charming. So we had a program at Ramakrishna Bajaj's home. And yeah, we remained friends. And in fact, once he invited me to a dramatic performance of the Ramayana at an auditorium in Nariman Point. I forget the name of the auditorium. I think it was designed by Burjor Mistry. It was like the state of the art auditorium. And as I was sitting with, you know, Mr. Bajaj in the audience, and, you know, he was sort of confiding in me that, you know, being, I mean, in those days, I don't think they said CEO, it was probably, you know, managing director or something. He was saying it's very stressful. And he was saying that you really have to be the servant of your employees, you know, of the other managers and so on. He was saying it's very stressful, but that if you don't take time out to relax, like he was doing by seeing that Ramayana performance to which he kindly invited me, he said, you know, it'll build up and then you may have a heart attack or, you know, some other complication. So, yeah, he, you know, he would confide in me, or in a way you could say give me friendly advice. Yeah, he was a good friend. Yes. Yes. Gyan Maya. Yeah, unmute yourself. Yes.
I have one question.
Yes.
Can you please describe this incident where your parents once met Prabhupada and your father told that, I want my son back, you take this blank check. So can you please describe in detail this past day?
Yeah, that was nice. So I was in Calcutta at the time, before we got Juhu. And my parents came to visit me, my parents and sister. And, you know, I was a little apprehensive. I didn't know how to deal with them, or even if I should spend time with them, because I was, you know, trying to be a strict brahmachari. But Srila Prabhupada said, you should spend time with them. So I did, and I introduced them to Srila Prabhupada in his room in Calcutta, which is still there. And yeah, Srila Prabhupada spoke so brilliantly and so expertly in a roundabout way in the beginning, you could say. And he was saying that when he had he said chemist shop, which we might say a pharmaceutical shop. One of his customers was Motilal Nehru, the father of Jawaharlal Nehru, who I think was the first prime minister of India. And he was saying that Motilal Nehru was a made-in-England man. That Prabhupada could have the exact same medicine made in India, exact same medicine made in India, or the same medicine made in England, and the medicine made in India cost significantly more than the one made in India. But Motilal Nehru would always take the one made in England. So in a subtle way, Srila Prabhupada was working on my father's prejudice, you know, thinking that things, you know, made in England or made in America are better than things made in India. And then he said that that Motilal Nehru told him that he had one son who was completely useless, named Jawaharlal. And he was thinking of donating Jawaharlal to the freedom movement. So, you know, again, Srila Prabhupada was sort of working on my father's prejudice, thinking that someone who has a big position in the material world is a great man, and he may not be. So it began like that. And then, eventually my father came to the point that they wanted me back. And so, yeah, my father said that I want to establish a trust for my son with $1 million. And back then, in 1971, $1 million was a lot more than it is now. Even now, $1 million is a lot, but back then it was much more. And Srila Prabhupada said, yes, you can send the documents and we will sign. So, my father Of course, that wasn't the idea. He wanted me to come back to Chicago. But then my mother, well, she was worried about my health. And it's true, I was pretty thin back then. And so as the talk was going on and it sort of became clear that I wasn't going to be going back to America, my mother started to cry. And Srila Prabhupada would always keep sweets on his desk. He would sit low on an asana and he'd have a little table. And so, yeah, my mother, at that time, people thought if you didn't eat meat, you couldn't get enough protein. So Srila Prabhupada took out some sandesh from his desk and he was distributing it. And he told my mother, these are made of cheese and they're very, very high in protein. And then he said to me, you must eat 2 dozen rasgulla and sandesh every day, which I'm still working on. I'm not there, but I'm working on it. So then, but still, you know, they had that desire that I should come back to America. So Prabhupada said, all right, now I'm in India, so let him be with me. And when I return to America in April, I'll bring him with me. Then I said, you know, that to my father that, you know, Srila Prabhupada is very intelligent because between October and April, when it's nice and when it's pleasant in India, he stays in India. And then, like, from May to October, or May to September, when it's very hot in India and it's pleasant in the West, he goes to the West. So by then, my father was actually becoming very enlivened by Srila Prabhupada. And he said, my father said, yes, he is very intelligent. Said of Prabhupada. And then Prabhupada said, no, your son is very intelligent because he has understood my motive to stay where the weather is good. And and then my father said, no, you are very intelligent, he said to Prabhupada. And then Prabhupada said, well, I guess I must be intelligent. Otherwise, how could I attract so many intelligent young men like your son? So things were becoming very pleasing. You know, things were becoming very pleasing. And in the end, as my father and mother, I was walking my father and mother out of the room. My father said to me, I'll say 2 things about your master. One, he's a brilliant organizer. And 2, he really knows how to deal with people. And in my father's value system, those are about the 2 highest compliments that he could pay anyone. Then after some time, I went to Madras. I was the first devotee from ISKCON. And I was, you know, we didn't have any center or anything. I was just staying at different people's homes and eating a lot of idlis and dosas and sambar. And I put on weight. And eventually I arranged a program for Srila Prabhupada for about a week and he came to Madras. And he saw that I had gained weight. So he said, I should take a picture of myself and send it to my mother. So she would be assured that I'm eating nicely. and that I'm healthy. So yeah, he hadn't forgotten. So yeah, that's the basic story.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Maharaj. Thank you so much, Maharaj, for your valuable association. Maharaj, I wanted to ask this question that in course of our whole life, there may be so many situations that will come or so many problems may come. How I should ensure that I always remain in the process of Krishna consciousness. I never leave this ISKCON moment because situations or reversals may come, or our conditionings may also come that will make us a little frustrated. And we may think that, okay, this process is not working, let me leave. But what is that important factor that we always should have in our attitude, in our mind, that will cause us to always be in this process of Krishna consciousness, Maharaj?
Well, two thoughts come to mind. One is, Srila Prabhupada said that spiritual life is difficult, but material life is impossible. So, however difficult spiritual life is, material life is impossible, which means it's really not an option. It's just not an option. Another thing that Srila Prabhupada said, which was very practical, is that as a devotee makes progress, he'll think of his previous life, or he'll think of his options. You know, I could go back, say, for example, you know, I could go back to my parents. No, I can't do that. Or, you know, I could do this. No, I can't do that. Or I could go there. No, I can't do that. So, yeah. But I would say you know, Srila Prabhupada also said, Krishna consciousness is 90% association. So I think if you always stay in the association of good devotees, you'll be protected. There's a very important instruction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Rupa Goswami about the Bhakti Lata Beach. And in that metaphor about the devotional creeper, he talks about the Hatimata, the mad elephant. And the mad elephant is Vaishnava Aparad or Guru Aparad. And he said that to avoid that mad elephant of offense, which can destroy the garden, can destroy the devotional creeper, one should fence in the creeper on all sides. And that fencing, Srila Prabhupada explains, is the association of pure devotees. So if you always stay in the circle of pure devotees, then you'll be protected from that mad elephant of offense, which means the offense is basically disobeying the orders of the spiritual master, the previous acharyas, or the shastras. So, yeah, stay close to the devotees. And if you have any doubts or difficulties, you can, you know, open your heart to them. Guhyamakiti Prichiti, as stated in the Upadeshamrita. Yeah, if you're having some difficulty, don't try to keep it inside and pretend, you know, that everything's all right when it's not all right. But, you know, have some friend or mentor whom you can confide in and who could help you deal with your challenge. Yes.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj ji. Dhanwad pranam.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisance. As we know, for Haridas Thakur, Maya Devi came to taste almost 500 years ago. Almost 50 years ago, same event happened to you at Juhu. So how do you able to escape, Maharaji? And how we can protect ourselves? And sorry for asking personal question.
No, that's okay. Yeah, well, it was for me, it was pretty simple in a way. So yes, Mr. Nair, the landlord who had owned the Juhu land and was trying to cheat Srila Prabhupada, arranged a prostitute to try to, I guess, seduce me. And at once, anyway, yeah, all right. So at one stage, he arranged for me to be in the back seat of a car with her. And she was, you know, putting her next to her. And I didn't feel right about it. It was like me and her and Nair in the back seat of the car. And he put me in the middle. But I really couldn't do anything about it. I couldn't, because the middle is like the uncomfortable position. So I didn't feel I could ask Nair to sit in the middle. And then having her sit in the middle wouldn't have made any difference because she would have still been next to me. So she started putting her hand on my knee and then working her way up my thigh, you know, very close to my private parts. And I was, whatever, 22 years old, you know, I was getting agitated. And for myself, you know, I might have thrown caution to the wind. But then I thought of Srila Prabhupada, that if I became implicated with her, the news would spread and it would affect Srila Prabhupada. It would affect his mission. And I couldn't bear the thought of my, you could say, misbehavior causing any pain or difficulty to Srila Prabhupada and his mission. So on that basis, I just, you know, made a firm resolution that I was not going to entertain her. And after that, Nair sent her to the Juhu land on a few occasions. And later I came to learn that she was like a sort of a well-known prostitute in the area. But when she came, I just avoided her. So that was the story. I'm not on the level of Haridas Thakur. If I was, I probably could have made her a devotee, but at least I didn't fall down.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much for the enlightenment, Maharaj. My question is regarding the purport. Prabhupada is saying that we cannot live for a moment without being questioned or without giving answers. Because the Srimad Bhagavatam deals with questions and answers that are related to Krishna, we can derive the highest satisfaction only by reading and hearing this transcendental literature. So Prabhupada is saying this, Maharaj. My question is, Maharaj, is it that the questions about Bhagavatam become the most satisfying thing? Like, can we have time for question answers in every Srimad Bhagavatam class? Because many times very genuine apprehensions are there of the wonderful leaders, that there are some younger devotees, if they are giving class, then question answers should not be there, or, you know, the devotees whom they are very much concerned about may get confused. So can you throw some light for me to understand, Maharaj? Can we have about this question answers about in Bhagavatam?
Oh, you're saying that the leaders are concerned that if the person who gives the class is a very new devotee, he might get confused by the questions? Is that what you're saying? Or did I miss one?
Just repeating, Maharaj, that there is a very genuine apprehension from the devotees that if some younger devotees are giving the classes, then the question answers cannot be like better if it is not there, because the devotees may get confused. So
and the devotee who's giving the class.
Yeah, if there is time for question answers in their class, then there will be some confusion, because like in your class we are having so wonderful question answers. So that may not be the case with others like that.
Well, in a way, it's not proper for me to give an answer without hearing the other side. But I think that having questions and answers is always good if there's time. And in fact, Srila Prabhupada said that preaching is the best way to become Krishna conscious, because when you preach and people ask questions, in order to answer the question, you have to think about Krishna. So it's the best way to become Krishna conscious. And if the devotee who's giving the class doesn't know the answer, he shouldn't. I mean, he can answer his capacity, but he shouldn't pretend that he knows more than he does. And if he doesn't really know the answer, he can either ask other devotees who are present if they know the answer, or most he can say, you know, he'll have to look it up. He'll have to do some research to get the answer. But I would say it's good. You know, there's that verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Siddhanta. Yeah, you know that verse?
Yeah,
one should not avoid discussion of Siddhanta because it's difficult, but such discussion makes one's mind stronger. You could probably say it better than I did, but that's the basic idea.
Maharaj, regarding the other side, if you want to hear, other side is still, means like there are devotees who are sitting there. If they want to express the other side, they may express if they want. Like Radhishampu and Revatipati Prabhu are there. I have written to them a mail about this question answers. If they want to express, they can express. Thank you.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj.
Yes.
So I was asking, sometimes this is a problem when material people see are suffering the same situation as they are suffering, or sometimes more than them. It becomes difficult to preach under such circumstances.
But can you repeat the first part? What?
Problem when people doubt our spiritual practices, when they see us suffering and they are suffering, or sometimes more than when we are suffering. So they think how we are better off. We are on the same way. So it's so difficult to tell them to practice Krishna consciousness and we will not have these problems for that long.
Well, that's a good question. She says that when she preaches to people, and they see that the devotees are also suffering just like they are, so they think, you know, what's the benefit of being a devotee? Well, my first answer is that you shouldn't suffer. when, I mean, I give this advice mainly to people in relation to their family members who may not be receptive to the philosophy as such. But I tell them that if their family members see that they're happy and that they're dealing nicely with them, then they'll think that Krishna consciousness is very good. And when Vaisheshika Prabhu became the temple president at ISKCON of Silicon Valley, His Holiness Radhanath Swami told him that his first duty is to be happy. So, yeah. So then that question won't arise. I mean, there may be external difficulties, but even in the face of the external difficulties, we can still be happy. And people will see that. As you say, we're in the material world. It's a world of duality. So there's always going to be heat and cold, you know, external happiness and distress. But even in faced with the external distress, one can still be happy in Krishna consciousness. And so if we show that example, then people will see, oh, yeah, this is good. This is, Krishna consciousness is good, yeah. Even when things go wrong, you know, she's not disturbed. You know, she's not discouraged. She always keeps her faith in Krishna, and she's happy. So, yeah.
Maharaj, my second part is left. How can we protect ourselves in the same situation of temptations?
Well, I think it's similar to what I said before. You know, there's reactions to what we do. Like, I mean, this may be somewhat innocent compared to what you have in mind. I don't know what you have in mind. But, you know, in one talk, Srila Prabhupada was saying how strict the laws of nature are. And if you overeat, you will get indigestion. So, okay, I might be tempted to eat more, or maybe to eat something that's more heavy or more rich than I can digest. But if I think, well, there will be consequences, you know, for that few moments or few minutes of pleasure that I get from eating, there's going to be consequences, and I'm going to get sick. So if we can assess the consequences of yielding to a temptation and see that the consequences are far worse than the temporary gratification that we can get by giving into the temptation, then we won't do it. And another protection is to stay in the association of devotees who won't who won't, you know, allow you to give into temptation. Yes, so much depends on association. I remember when I was in Colombo, Sri Lanka, I met a man at the Air India office. He was a nice man. But he had this problem of being an alcoholic. And, you know, with great difficulty, he was able to give it up. But when he would meet with his old friends, they would always try to tempt him. Oh, come on, it's not going to harm you. Just have one drink. What's the big thing, you know, for old time's sake? And they were like his worst enemies. So you want to avoid association that will encourage you to give in to temptations and stay in association that will discourage you or protect you from giving in to temptations. It's like Hridayananda Maharaj told me this, or maybe one of his friends, but he was on an airplane flight dressed like this, you know, in devotee clothes, and towards the end of the flight, a gentleman asked him, "Why do you dress like this?" And Hridayananda Maharaj replied, "So you won't invite me to your parties." So we can do things, like even our dress, in a way it can protect us from temptation because people will see we're devotees and they have certain expectations of how devotees behave. One of my sannyasi godbrothers told me that on a flight, he was tempted to read one of the magazines, you know, one of the news magazines, Time or Newsweek or something. And someone on the flight, seeing him dressed as a sannyasi and reading that magazine, said, you know, is this something that you're supposed to be doing, you know, in your position? And that sannyasi felt chastened. He said, "Actually, that's true. I shouldn't have been doing that. And it was a bad reflection on my position as a sannyasi." So it's, you know, it's sort of good to arrange things in such a way that we won't be tempted or else you just understand that the consequences of giving into that temptation aren't worth the consequences. Is that all right?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Dandavats. Yeah, can I ask the question?
Yes.
Maharaj, with this recent onslaught of the pandemic, while earlier we were facing more challenges, gradually it appears that with this kind of conference, live conference of the various classes, our home seems to be getting spiritualized more than the earlier situation, wherein we would be primarily going to the temple and coming back home. At certain time, we see that the two places are in a disconnect manner. While definitely we understand that temple is the storehouse and home is the extension from the spiritual perspective, we now feel that our home gets more spiritualized because most of the, even the attending of the classes, we take it from home itself. So how do you see that we will be able to take the change back again when the post-pandemic era begins?
Whatever good practices you've adopted during the pandemic, you should continue after the pandemic. But if it's any consolation to you, there's no signs that the pandemic is going to end soon. So you can keep being Krishna conscious at home.
Yeah. Thank you, Maharaj. With your blessings.
Thanks.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Maharaj, thank you for your wonderful association. I have this question that all the Prabhupada disciples have great attachment for Srila Prabhupada. So I see in my life I don't have so much attachment for my spiritual master. I am doing my service and following the things in the temple and all, but I see I don't have much attachment to my spiritual master. So what should I do so that I can start cultivating and develop attachment to my spiritual master?
And why do you want attachment for your spiritual master?
I see that gratitude the disciple has for Guru, naturally there is an attachment. I am receiving a lot, but I still see I am not having such emotions or spiritual affection towards my spiritual master. I am doing the things, devotional activities, but in my heart, I don't have much attachment to my spiritual master.
All right. Well, you should... what you said about gratitude is very important. You know, we should feel grateful to the spiritual master for all that he's done for us. And, you know, a couple of thoughts come to mind. Do you write a Vyas Puja offering to your spiritual master?
I was writing, but nowadays last few years I didn't write.
Oh.
But I recollect some things. Physically I don't write, but in my mind I have something in my mind which I think of his mercy upon me. Physically I don't write, but I spend some time to think over it.
All right, that's good. It's also good to write. As Burijan Prabhu says, when you write, you really find out what you had to say. So writing is good. Last time I mentioned that quotation from Srila Prabhupada that writing is necessary for everyone. And this isn't always possible, but do you have a chance to have personal association with your spiritual master?
We get to hear his lectures in yatras, or sometimes we go to Bombay to hear. Otherwise, we don't, at least I don't have direct association with my spiritual master. I get to hear him directly sometimes when he's in India. Otherwise, I don't have any direct association.
And are you able to ask him questions?
At least till now, I never asked any questions.
Well, I would say that if you get a chance to be present for one of his talks, you could ask him that question, how can you develop more attachment for your spiritual master? Or you can ask, other God brothers of yours, you know, who you feel or perceive have more attachment, you know, how they develop theirs. I mean, in my case, Anyway, you know, mine was sort of natural, but I think if you follow the spiritual master's instructions and you feel the benefit you get from following his instructions, you should feel grateful and you should become more attached to him. It's good that you want to develop your attachment. Shri Guru Charana Rate, ACA Uttamagati. Attachment to the lotus feet of the spiritual master is the perfection that fulfills all desires.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Maharaj, thank you for giving wonderful association. I want to ask one question, that in Many Moons book, in your homage to Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj, there comes an incident when you were sent by Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj to Mathura and there was some apparent mistake in registering Bhaktivedanta Swami Charity Trust. Yeah. And later on, you were chastised by Tamal Krishna Maharaj. So you write that you felt very enlivened by the chastisement of Tamal Krishna Maharaj. And you thought that in this way, our friendship is on a spiritual level.
Yes. So
the question is, on being a neophyte while doing service, many times we are advised that you need to focus more on relationships rather than compromising on service. So, like, service is short term, but relationship is longer. So please advise something what a neophyte should do. Should he prioritize over service or focus more on relationship?
That's a good question. I mean, in the case of Tamal Krishna Goswami and me, I mean, we were both very attached to Srila Prabhupada. And exactly as you said, I was very enlivened when Tamal Krishna Goswami came banging on my door in the Vrindavan guest house. And just hearing that banging, I knew it could be only one person. So I opened the door and he came in and he said, "Boy, did you blow it. You know, Srila Prabhupada is so upset." He said, you know, there could be so many Bhaktivedanta charity trusts. There could be so many Bhaktivedantas, but there's only one Bhaktivedanta Swami. So you have to go and redo it properly. And I felt very enlivened because we were good friends, but he didn't compromise Srila Prabhupada's service for the sake of, you know, like maintaining a smooth relationship with me. So I was engladdened. But as a rule, what you said is also true, that you know, often the relationship is more important than the service. I remember once, of course, it also depends a lot on the individuals and what their natures are and what their relationships are. But I remember once, after Prabhupada left, soon after Prabhupada left, a senior devotee came to Juhu, and I was sort of in charge of many of the funds, Srila Prabhupada's bank accounts that he left. And so this godbrother came and he was like really heavy that he wanted me to release some money for some purpose. spiritual purpose, you know. But within my heart, I was quite sure that Srila Prabhupada wouldn't want the money to be used for that purpose. But that god brother was, he was like very insistent. And finally I concluded, if I don't give him the money, it's going to really harm our relationship. And in that case, I actually concluded that for the sake of the relationship, it's better I give him the money, even though I think that Prabhupada otherwise wouldn't have wanted the money to be used for that purpose. And I didn't regret it. You know, I was convinced that it was more important to preserve the relationship. So often that can be the priority. Yeah. Hare Krishna. Any other questions or comments?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Thank you, Maharaj, for this beautiful question answer sessions. And also in the last week, that you had taken a very beautiful verse about this calamities, Kunti Maharani. Yeah. In that translation and purport, Maharaj, it comes, the analogy of tiger comes, that tiger chasing a man in a dream. So Prabhupada writes that this material world is like dream. So many times I used to, I could understand it, but I wanted to just get more clarification. So is it that whatever spiritual activities we are doing, then that may not be considered as dream, like I'm hearing now Bhagavatam class or I'm hearing this. So this is not a dream. And other things, whatever apart from the spiritual activities, whatever I do, that is all considered to be like a dream. So how do we come to reality actually? And because most of the time is taken away by this live dream only.
Yeah, I'll just read that. The spirit soul is transcend. This is from the purport to Srimad Bhagavatam 1.8.25. The spirit soul is transcendental to all material calamities. Therefore, the so-called calamities are called false. A man may see a tiger swallowing him in a dream, and he may cry for this calamity. Actually, there is no tiger and there is no suffering. It is simply a case of dreams. In the same way, all calamities of life are said to be dreams. If someone is lucky enough to get in contact with the Lord by devotional service, it is all gain. Contact with the Lord by any one of the nine devotional services is always a step forward on the path going back to Godhead. So Srila Prabhupada is making a contrast that the calamities are a dream, but devotional service is not a dream. You know, devotional service is reality. And it's the means by which we can go back to Godhead, which is the supreme reality. So, yeah, our trials and tribulations are not very serious because they're like the calamities in a dream. But our devotional service is real. And so we should take that seriously. And Ahaituki Apratiyata Yayatma Suprasidati, it should be unmotivated and uninterrupted to completely satisfy the self. So that means even if there's some external calamity, we should continue with our devotional service. And that and will remain satisfied. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Thank you very much for your enlivening one-to-one question answer sessions. I just have a question that many times we read Srila Prabhupada's books, and as Prabhupada said that I am present in my books, we are not able to realize that Srila Prabhupada is present in his books. Or when we say we love Srila Prabhupada, but how we can understand that Srila Prabhupada's reciprocation is coming in the form of his books or in the form of his lectures? Can you please elaborate on this?
Well, yes, Srila Prabhupada's books are alive, and many devotees have experienced that when they had some question or some difficulty, they found the answer in Srila Prabhupada's books. And in a way, it's similar to the question that the brahmachari asked about developing attachment for the spiritual master, that if you take the instructions that Srila Prabhupada gives in his books and follow them, and then you feel the result, you feel how much benefit you've gotten, then you'll feel grateful to Srila Prabhupada. And yeah, you'll want to repay him by, following the instructions and also sharing your good fortune with others, and giving them Srila Prabhupada's books, or somehow bringing them to Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet. But yeah, the books are living, and you get not only Srila Prabhupada, but you get the previous acharyas, and ultimately Krishna, in a way. Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna himself. So yeah, it's nectar. It's nectar. And there's a nice verse and purport in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, in which, in the verse, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami says that that men become strong and stout by eating grains. But if people simply eat ordinary grains, but they don't absorb themselves in the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Radha and Krishna, they will become weak and fall down from their position. And in his purport, Srila Prabhupada writes, in the same vein, that if the members of the Krishna consciousness movement don't read the books that he has published, and he mentions, Bhagavad Gita as it is, Srimad Bhagavatam, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, and others, they will simply, eat, sleep, and fall down from their positions. And fall down from their position doesn't necessarily mean in the gross sense. It could, but it would definitely mean at least in the subtle sense, where they lose their conviction, they lose their enthusiasm to practice and preach. So yeah, the reading is necessary. It is associating with Srila Prabhupada. Yeah. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
One devotee asked a question. Srila Prabhupada writes in purport, one should read Srimad Bhagavatam and make all-around solution to all problems pertaining to social, political, and religious matter. But now some devotees say that Srimad Bhagavatam is not for living in this world, but for leaving this world. And these devotees, as Bhagavatam was spoken to Parikshit Maharaj at the end of his life. So these devotees emphasize that reading Mahabharata is more beneficial for living in this world. So please advise, Maharaj.
Srimad Bhagavatam is the ripened fruit of the Vedic tree, of literature. And so Srimad Bhagavatam is most important. What the devotee you quoted said is only partially true. Yes, Shukadeva Goswami spoke to Maharaj Parikshit when he had 7 days to live. And Maharaj Parikshit asked, you know, what is the duty of a person who is about to leave his body? But there's another speaking of Srimad Bhagavatam with Sutta Goswami and the sages at Naimisharanya. And their purpose was to understand how to do good for the people in Kali Yuga. It was not meant, yes, of course it's meant to help people leave the world, but it was also meant to help people live in the world. And this, I'll read a very nice verse, and you'll get the idea. In fact, this verse, if you look at the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, there's a verse on the first page. And that verse is Krishne Sodamo Pagate. Yes, it's 1.343. Krishne Sodamo Pagate Dharma Gyanadi Bhisa Kalo Nashta Drisham Esha Puranarko Dunodita. And the translation is, this Bhagavat Purana is as brilliant as the sun, and it has arisen just after the departure of Lord Krishna to his own abode, accompanied by religion, knowledge, etc. Persons who have lost their vision due to the dense darkness of ignorance in the age of Kali shall get light from this Purana. So in other words, this is to help people how to live in the world, not just how to leave the world. So, I mean, there's really no comparison between Srimad Bhagavatam and Mahabharata. And, I wouldn't recommend reading Mahabharata in preference to Srimad Bhagavatam. And as I quoted from that verse in the beginning, 113, that it's the ripened fruit of the Vedic tree of knowledge. So nothing compares with Srimad Bhagavatam. And you get elements of Mahabharata and Srimad Bhagavatam. Plus, Sripad Madhvacharya says that it's very hard to, you can't find a pure text for Mahabharata. The text has been corrupted, which means, you know, things have been inserted or interpolated that weren't in the original. So I would say stick to Srimad Bhagavatam. I'll just read that one verse because it's so beautiful. This is 113, as I mentioned. Nigama kalpataror galitam phalam sukamukad amrita drava samyutam pipata bhagavatam rasamalayam muhuraho rasika bhuvi bhuvaka. O expert and thoughtful men, relish Srimad Bhagavatam, the mature fruit of the desire tree of Vedic literatures. So Kalpataru, it means desire tree. And it means that there's everything in it, material and spiritual, everything. Kalpataru, it's a desire tree. But Srimad Bhagavatam is the ripened fruit. O expert and thoughtful men, relish Srimad Bhagavatam, the mature fruit of the desire tree of Vedic literatures. It emanated from the lips of Shukadev Goswami. Therefore, its fruit has become even more tasteful. Although its nectarian juice was already possible for all, including liberated souls. So, yes. Pibata Bhagavatam Rasamalayam. Should read and relish Srimad Bhagavatam. It will give you everything you need to know for living life in the material world and going back home, back to God. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Dandavat Pranam. Maharaj, I have a question. Maharaj, what if your guru has given you few, he has expressed his desires that you should do something, but because of some situation, you're not able to fulfill it. So, and you're feeling really guilty about it. So what can be done in that case, Maharaj?
I mean, the context may be different, but I was in a similar situation. And that Srila Prabhupada instructed me to write. He said that I should take up writing as my first business. So I, you know, in those days we didn't have computers, so I went out and bought pen and paper and I was ready to start writing. Because in Boston, Satsvarupa Das Adhikari then, he was the editor of Back to Godhead and he wanted articles. So I wrote an article in Boston and the magazine with the article it took about 4 months or so. It came to Srila Prabhupada's hands when we were in India. So he called to see me and he said, I've read your article. It's very nice. You should take up writing as your first business. So as I said, I got my paper and pencils and was all ready to work on writing. And then soon thereafter, I was. Our group was called to Bombay to collect, and I was asked to collect funds for the first Bombay Pandal cross. So I told Shyamasundara Prabhu, who was the president, that Prabhupada had told me to write. And Shyamasundara Prabhu said, you can write anytime, but this is a special opportunity. We can walk into anyone's office in Bombay and ask them to give for the souvenir. So it made sense to me. So I set aside my writing and I collected, for the souvenir, for the pandal, and I did quite well. So then Srila Prabhupada came to Bombay. We were staying at the Akash Ganga building on Warden Road. And as usual, he came into his room and all the disciples followed him into the room and he was glancing affectionately at everyone and asking how they were. And when he came to me, he said, "So, Giri Raj, how is your writing going?" And I was like, I was so flustered. I wasn't writing. I didn't know what to say. So he could see, he said, "All right, we'll discuss later." So a little later, he called me back into the room and I explained, that Shyamasundara Prabhu had said that we need to collect for the pandal, and this is one time we can walk into any man's office and ask for an ad for the souvenir, and he doesn't have to pay out of his pocket. The business can pay. And that made sense to me. And also, you wanted us to cooperate with our authorities, and he was my authority. So that's what I did. And I haven't been writing. I was very nervous. I was very apprehensive how Srila Prabhupada would respond. And Srila Prabhupada said, that's all right. He said, just like me, my Guru Maharaj also instructed me to write. But I've been so busy traveling and preaching here in India, I hardly have time to write. And then he gave a very important instruction. And he said that you can suspend the order of the spiritual master, but you can never neglect it. Suspend means like hold it in abeyance. You can set it aside for some time. And then when the circumstances allow, you can go back to it. So, of course, I don't know exactly what instruction you're referring to from your spiritual master, but I'm giving the principle that if circumstances don't allow you to act upon it at a certain time, you still keep that instruction in your heart and you wait for the opportunity when the circumstances will allow you to act upon it. So yeah, like Prabhupada said, you can suspend the order, but you can never neglect it. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. I want to know how Srila Prabhupada dealt with the devotees who have stolen money or who start taking intoxication.
Well, the two are different. There was a case in Juhu, very interesting case in Juhu, where one of the devotees stole some money. And we asked him if we should report him to the police. And it wasn't a big amount. And Srila Prabhupada said, no, we should not report him. Because by accusing him, we're actually accusing ourselves. You know, in effect, we're saying that we Hare Krishna devotees are thieves. And yeah, there was there's one devotee in Hawaii. This was a big thing. He sold the Hawaii temple and kept the money. And later, I mean, this shows Srila Prabhupada's affectionate heart. Later, Srila Prabhupada referred to that devotee and he said, he's a rascal. But I like that rascal. As far as taking intoxicants, you know, that's, you know, something that he, obviously he didn't condone it, but, you know, he was very merciful. And there was one case when one of his very earliest disciples from America had come to India in Calcutta, he was involved in smoking hashish. And so the temple president in Calcutta phoned Bombay, where Srila Prabhupada was, and he explained, you know, to Prabhupada's secretary that, you know, that this disciple is smoking hashish. And, you know, what should we do? And Srila Prabhupada told his secretary to give the answer, tell the disciple that if he doesn't stop smoking hashish, I will reject him. And then after the phone call, the secretary, Tamal Krishna Goswami, asked Srila Prabhupada, Is that true that you would reject him if he doesn't stop smoking hashish? And Srila Prabhupada said, no, it's not true. And Tamalkrishna Goswami said, well, don't you have to draw the line somewhere? And Srila Prabhupada replied, the mercy of Lord Nityananda has no limit. So, yeah.
Maharaj?
Yes?
Am I audible?
You are?
Ah, yes, Maharaj. Maharaj, we were planning to bring this session to a concluding part now. Although many devotees may be very pained to see this, because it's almost 10 o'clock now, and it was a very beautiful concluding point about Lord Nityananda's mercy of being oceanic compassion he showed. And Prabhupada had similar type of compassion. Thank you, Maharaj. And today's question answer has been very enlivening and enlightening. And it was keeping all of us at the edge of our seats. We just couldn't blink our eyes or take a breath also. It was so thrilling to hear you speak. I was very much reminded of your question answer session you gave us during the Pune Yatra in those days. Almost every Pune Yatra we used to have you. And as soon as Radhanath Maharaj would ask you to answer the questions, and it used to be similar type of question answers. It was such an enlivening session today too again. Nowadays, I feel during this pandemic session, we had the season, we had this experience that, you know, getting great souls like you personally has been not very easy. With great difficulty, we have brought you last year to Pune. But I think online, you may not mind visiting like this if we request you time to time from whichever place you are in. We don't feel so much difference, Maharaj, because your sound vibration is so potent and powerful. And if we could arrange this type of sessions, your question answers are very pointed and, you know, very beautifully addressing the exact concern of the person asking question. That is one of the best things I appreciated. So we could have a couple of hours like this, Maharaj, time to time, if it pleases you. So yeah. I've been in touch with you, and it was very nice. Devotees could ask you one-on-one. Honestly, Maharaj, I can tell you, many times the spiritual masters have thousands of disciples, and oftentimes we don't get access to many of the disciples don't get access to their own spiritual master many a time because they're all on the travel. But you have been very compassionate and sacrificing and extending yourself. Last week and this week, you gave a couple of programs for us. And especially this type of, I feel question answers are very vital because many devotees hear a lot of lectures, but their questions remain unanswered. And you answered it so well and very deeply satisfying. For my question, you gave such a brilliant answer. Chanting itself is service, you know. So I will not forget it. Tomorrow when I pick up my bead bag, I will understand this is one service I'm doing now, which is as important or more important than the other services. So it was so nice, Maharaj. Thank you. We're looking forward to having you again like this and we'll be in touch with you, Maharaj. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Is Wellness Giriraj Swami Maharaj ki? Srila Prabhupada ki?
Jai. Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki?
Jai.
All right. Have a wonderful rest of the day. If we're concluding now, then maybe we should end with Vaishnava Pranam.
Yes, Maharaj.
Let us offer our respectful obeisances unto all the Vaishnava devotees of the Lord, who are just like desire trees, who can fulfill the desires of everyone and are full of compassion for the fallen conditioned souls. Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrindaki Jiva Prabhupada Ki
Jai.
Jai.